Welcome back. In this lesson, we're doing something that's weirdly powerful in modern drum and bass. Placing tape hiss in the mix from scratch, but with full modern control. Because tape hiss isn't just noise. Treat it right, it's glue, it's air, it's movement. It's that lived-in record feeling that makes your mix feel finished without turning it into a lo-fi meme. And in D&B, where transience and top-end detail are everything, the whole game is intentional hiss. It supports the groove and the transitions, but it never steals the spotlight from your hats, your snare crack, or vocal clarity. Here's what we're building. A little hiss system with three behaviors. First, a static hiss bed that's always on, but shaped and tucked. Second, groove hiss that breathes with the drums using sidechain ducking. Third, a transition hiss layer for builds, drop cuts, and breakdown texture. And we'll do it all with stock Ableton devices, with routing that makes it easy to A/B quickly. All right. Step 0, prep check. Before you add any hiss, get your core balance roughly in place. Kick and snare hitting right. Hats and perks not already tearing your ears off. Bass solid and monofocused under about 120 Hz. And make sure you're not already drowning in noise from vinyl layers or ambiences. This matters because hiss is subtle. If your top end is already dense, hiss won't read as vibe. It'll read as harsh fog. Now step 1. Create a dedicated hiss return. This is the cleanest way to keep hiss behind the mix and still be able to automate it, duck it, and mute it instantly. In Ableton, create a return track and name it a-hiss. Because it's a return, we want it effectively 100% wet, meaning all the sound on that return is the hiss chain. Then on the tracks you want to feed into that vibe, raise and adjust a tiny bit. Start microscopic. Seriously. You can always add more. Routing suggestion for D&B. Send a little from your drum bus, a little from FX and Atmos, and sometimes from vocal chops if you want them to feel more in the world. Usually don't send your sub, it's pointless, and it can create weird pumping and mud. Before we pick a hiss source, a quick coaching question. What job is the hiss doing? Is it cohesion and mix glue, meaning steady, low, wide, and slightly ducked? Is it perceived brightness, meaning it's adding air, but kept tucked and dynamically control? Or is it energy in the gaps, meaning it's more rhythmic, gated, or strongly ducked so the silence between hits feels alive? Decide that first, because it tells you how bright to make it and how much movement you need. Step 2. Choose a hiss source. Two solid options. Option A. Use a tape hiss sample. Fast and authentic. Drop the sample into Sampler on the return track, turn on loop, and make sure the loop points are clean. If it's a clean loop, you can turn warp off. If you need warp, use beats, but don't let it start doing weird transient stuff. The pro move here is simply to find a section of the noise with no obvious bumps or ticks. Tape hiss should feel continuous, not like it's cycling. Option B. Synthesize hiss. Super controllable and it won't loop identify. Add operator on the return, set oscillator to noise white, and start the level around minus 24 dB. Quiet. You're building a layer, not a feature. Cool. Step 3. Shape the hiss so it sounds like tape, not like your laptop fan. First device, EQ8. This is where most people win or lose. Start with a high pass filter, steep, 24 dB per octave, somewhere around 250 to 500 Hz. You're removing low mid mod. Tape hiss should not add boxiness. Then listen around 3 to 6 kHz. If the hiss fights your hats or makes your snare ear spitty, do a gentle dip, like 2 to 4 dB. Then optionally, add a low-pass filter around 12 to 16 kHz to roll off that digital fizz and lean it more tape. Second device, saturator. This is the glue maker. Set it to soft sine if you want it smooth. Drive it maybe 2 to 6 dB. Then trim the output so your before and after levels match. Level matching is non-negotiable, because louder always sounds better for 5 seconds and then ruins your mix. If you want it slightly denser, turn on soft clip, but keep it tasteful. Third device, glue compressor. Light stabilization. Attack around 10 milliseconds, release on auto or around 0.3 seconds, ratio 2 to 1, and set the threshold, so you're only getting 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction maximum. This is not about smashing, it's about making the hiss behave like it belongs. Quick gain staging shortcut that saves headaches. Put a utility at the very start of the chain, before saturation and compression, and treat it like your input trim. If later you drive the saturator harder, pull down that first utility instead of chasing your return fader forever. Now step 4, the modern control move, sidechain ducking. This is what makes hiss feel intentional in rolling D&B. Add the regular compressor, not glue, at the end of the chain. Turn on sidechain. Set the input to your kick and snare group, or a dedicated drum sidechain track if you have one. Start with ratio 4 to 1. Fast attack, like 1 to 3 milliseconds. Release around 80 to 160 milliseconds depending on tempo and feel. Then lower the threshold until the hiss ducks about 2 to 6 dB on drum hits. What you're listening for is breathing. The hiss should tuck out of the way exactly when transients hit, and then float back and right after. It's like the whole track is hitting tape. Teacher tip: if the snare is massive and the kick is fast, you might not want the hiss pumping on every kick. Try snare active hiss. Make a separate snare trigger track, even just a short clicky transient on each snare hit, and feed that to the sidechain input. That gives you the snare-driven bowing without turning the hiss into a pumping compressor demo. Also, don't overdo the gain reduction. There's a micro-pumping sweet spot. Aim for only 1 to 2 dB of reduction, but more consistently, with a shorter release than you think, like 40 to 90 milliseconds at 174 BPM. That reads as groove instead of obvious pumping. Step 5, stereo placement without messing up your mono focus. Put utility on the hiss return and widen it. Somewhere around 120 to 160% is a good start. Wide hiss creates perceived air and size without boosting your hats. Then use bass mono and utility around 200 to 300 Hz. Even if you already high-passed, this is a safety net to prevent low-mid smear. Now do a mono reality check. Temporarily set the hiss utility width to 0%. If your whole mix suddenly feels like the top end disappears, you leaned on hiss too much as your brightness source. Hiss should be a vibe, not the entire treble strategy. Step 6. Arrangement placement. This is where hiss stops being wallpaper and starts being production. Instead of leaving it at one static level all track, treat it like a musical element with states. Come indeed and be moves. In intros and breakdowns, bring the hiss up slightly, like 1 to 3 dB for atmosphere. In the pre-drop, automate it up with a filter opening to build tension. At the drop, cut hiss for the first quarter bar to 1 bar, then bring it back. That contrast makes the drums feel bigger without touching drum levels. And for fills, you can momentarily push the hiss into more drive for a gritty accent. In Ableton, automate the return fader volume, automate the EQ8 low pass cutoff, and automate saturator drive. A classic trick: at the drop, pull hiss down by about 2 dB for the first bar. Your drums will feel louder even though you didn't change them. Arrangement upgrade: if you don't want to fully mute it at the drop, instead of cutting to silence, automate the width down briefly, like from 160% to 80% for half a bar. The center punches forward, then the sides snap back. That's a really modern impact move. Step 7. Build a dedicated transition hiss layer. Duplicate your hiss idea into a new audio track called Hiss FX. Not a return. Put a hiss sample there, or resample your hiss return for 16 to 32 bars and print it. Printing is great because it removes that obvious same loop every 2 seconds giveaway. You can also chop it, reverse tiny pieces, add little fades, and reconsolidate so it feels organic. On Hiss FX, build this chain, auto filter in low pass mode, and automate the cutoff rising from about 2 kHz to 15 kHz over 8 to 16 bars. Then reverb, fairly big, size around 20 to 40, decay 2 to 6 seconds, dry wet maybe 10 to 25%. Keep it controlled. Then echo. DNB loves dotted timing, so try 1/8 or 1/4 dotted, feedback 10 to 25%, and keep the filter bright, but not piercing. Then a limiter for safety. Arrangement idea: use a hiss riser into a snare roll, then hard cut the hiss and its reverb tail right on the drop to create a vacuum. Then reintroduce the static hiss bed subtly after 1 bar. Now leveling. Step 8. How loud should hiss be? Rule of thumb: if you can clearly hear that's hiss when the full mix plays, it's too loud. The best hiss is the one you miss when it's gone. Practical method: set the hiss so you definitely hear it. Then pull it down 6 to 10 dB. Then AB at low monitoring volume. Low volume makes balance decisions brutally honest. Here's an extra noise monitor check that will save your ears. Temporarily put an EQ8 after your whole hiss chain, and make a steep band pass around 8 to 14 kHz. Turn it on and off just to hear what you're really adding up top. If it sounds like a fizzy blade, you need less high end, or a dip, where your hat's live. Then bypass or remove that EQ. It's just a diagnostic tool. Common mistakes to avoid: if the hiss is too bright and it masks hats, dip around 6 to 10 kHz or low pass around 12 to 14 kHz. If the hiss adds low mid junk, raise your high pass to 250 to 500 Hz. Hiss should not add box. If it has no movement, it'll sound fake. Add sidechain ducking or subtle filter motion. If it fights vocal chops, automate the hiss down only during key phrases. Don't kill the vibe for the entire section. And if you're tempted to put his directly on the master, fine, but still route it as a separate channel or return so you can automate and duck it. Master hiss without control is how you end up with a constant SHHHH on your drop. Before we wrap, a darker, heavier DNB tip. Make hiss gritty, not shiny. Low pass around 10 to 12 kHz, add a bit more saturation drive, and try a small notch around 4 to 5 kHz if it's poking your snare presence. And for jungle style break energy, try gating the hiss. Put a gate before the compressor, sidechain it from the drum bus, set the threshold so hiss opens on breaks and hats, and use a short release around 50 to 120 milliseconds. That chop texture can be magic. Mini practice exercise to lock it in. In a 170 to 175 BPM project, create the a-hiss return. Add your hiss source, sample or operator. Build this chain. EQ8, saturator, compressor with sidechain, utility. Set sidechain from kick and snare, and aim for 3 to 5 dB of ducking to start. Automate hiss volume up 2 dB in the breakdown. Automate it to silence for the first half bar of the drop, and automate the low-pass cutoff opening into the pre-drop. Then bounce a 16-bar loop and AB with hiss muted. Your success check is simple. With hiss off, it feels slightly sterile. With hiss on, it feels glued and deeper, like a record, but your drums are still crisp and your hats don't shrink. Recap to lock it in. Put hiss on a return for control. Shape it like tape. High pass the low mids, tame harsh highs, saturate gently. Sidechain it so it moves with the groove. Automate it like an arrangement tool. Breakdown lift, pre-drop build, drop contrast. And keep it subtle enough that you only notice it when it's gone. If you tell me your substyle, like liquid, rollers, neuro, or jungle, and whether your hats are bright or dark, I can suggest exact EQ points, macro ranges, and sidechain timings that match your tempo and drum character.